From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the American Cancer Society of Racine is seeking team participants for their 2016 Relay for Life to be held on June 10th. Teams are encouraged to register online at relayforlife.org and fundraise up to the event.
Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild, presenting Fiddler on the Roof weekends through the end of the month. Matinee and evening performances are both available. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit racinetheater.org or call 262-633-4218. Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, back outdoors for the warm weather season this Saturday from 9 to 2, featuring the sweet and salty crunch of freshly popped kettle corn from Burlington-based Sky Mountain Kettle Corn. Snack while you browse the market.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College, with two-year business management degrees leading to good-paying management careers in sales and marketing, real estate, financial services, warehousing facilities, logistics, human resources, and many others. For more information, go to gtc.edu.
Support for WGTD comes to you from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. Andrea's, a proud supporter of programming on WGTD HD.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
And thank you, Dave Cole, for that introduction. My name is Mike Kehoe. The show is Education Matters. For 45 minutes every week, we discuss something of interest to the local educational community, parents, students, teachers, whatever. And today we have Dave Dominey, who's sitting to my left, a colleague of mine at Bullen Middle School, Rick Coltman, and Robin Ennis, who are far out in the hinterlands, and Dave will explain that. What our topic is today. This is the time of the year when classes of high school students who have graduated start talking about reunions. I'm working on my 55th, which we're going to have in July, and Dave is working on his 40th, mm-hmm. and he has two of his classmates, and we're going to be discussing the dreams that folks have at the time that they graduate, and the kinds of realities that life teaches, and where you end up at 40.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mike. You're making us feel a lot better, I'll tell you that much. 15 years farther down the line, we've got 15 years to go, guys.
And three-fourths of my classmates are still with us.
That's great. And that's phenomenal.
Three of my high school teachers are still with us.
Wow. I've had a few. I've been lucky. We're going to be talking about 40 years, an unexpected journey. And Rick happens to live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's with us, and Robin lives out in Seattle, Washington, so she's on the other coast. We're very lucky to have, I guess, each other, aren't we, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Over the years, I guess one of the things that we should probably start with is starting in 1976. That's the year we graduated, 1976. So when you think about it, what was it like for us? I mean, I know for me, I was coming out and I was thinking, you know, I was going to be a world beater and I was going to go actually into the ministry, if you guys remember. And I got into college and things kind of changed. How about for you, Rick?
Well, in 76, I really didn't have a clue what I was going to do. You know, we probably all worked hard to get the grades because that's what we were taught so we could get into a university or a college somewhere. And so I did that, and then went off to college, but I didn't really have a clue what I was going to do. Although there was one class, if I had to think back, there was one class at Case High School that I took that really had a profound impression on me, and it was a class that was taught on radio and television production. And I don't know if any of you either you recall that class or whether you even heard about it, but it was only offered like one, you know, it was like an elective on a one semester or whatever. I think I took it in my senior year, and I didn't realize how creative I was. That class really brought that out of me, where most of the classes that I ended up taking were really tied for sciences, math, things along that line. This class brought out a piece of me I'd not seen before. And, of course, you guys are very creative with drama and all that, music and all that in your background. But I had a different spin, and that really had a huge impact on me. I ended up heading off to university and went to school in radio and television. So that's kind of what happened in 76 for me, but it was that one class. What about you, Robin?
Well, for me, I had a strong sense of direction. I think when I got to Case, my family moved from the Philippines, and I started my sophomore year at Case, so I was new to the crew, and I knew very strongly that I wanted to be a dancer and a choreographer, so I got really involved in the plays and the musicals. We did 1776 and Fiddler on the Roof, which are great memories for me. And then my junior year, I kind of busted out my knee, and it kind of derailed me from those plans, which was probably for the best, because as it turns out, I really wasn't that good anyway. So,
I think I remember that. I think I remember when your knee busted out.
I totally remember that, because I'd had knee surgery. Remember that, Robin?
Dave had his knee surgery first, and he gave me all this scare stuff about when I had mine, so we had that shared bond.
Yes.
I kind of lost my sense of direction in my senior year. I ended up, one of my classmates suggested that we join the Air Force, which wasn't even on my radar, and that's what I did. I ended up joining the Air Force, and I went to, I already spoke several languages, and I studied French and Latin, continued studying French at Case, and took up Latin. And I ended up, the military sent me to Russian school. So I studied Russian, and I became a Russian linguist. And that kind of set the stage for my career after that.
And with me, I ended up going to college, and I was going to go into the ministry. I had actually taken courses in religion, and I had a class called Theology 101, and that kind of threw me off. Theology was a bit different than what I was used to. And that kind of derailed me a little bit, and I thought, well, I'll go into physical therapy. In the long run, I ended up going into physical education. And it was funny, because when I graduated, I never used my degree for anything initially. I ended up going into the ministry as a missionary. I don't know if you guys remember that. I went to Japan for a while.
And I remember.
I didn't know that, I guess. Yeah, for 3.5 years I lived in Japan. I worked for the Lutheran Church as a missionary. I taught English. I coached. I learned a lot about the Japanese culture and different cultures, I'll tell you that much. It was kind of interesting, because it wasn't like living in a military base or anything like that. I mean, I was out in the middle of nowhere, and my entire ability to listen to English was on a shortwave radio that I could put on the edge of my window, and I could hear, you know, real staticky AFRTS radio broadcasts. But then when I got back, I ended up finally doing some work in like retail. I didn't like that. And then all of a sudden I started coaching and fell back in love with education. And as Mike knows, I've been teaching ever since. It's been about 35 years almost for me, 30 years.
Wow.
Wow.
So I've been in the same job for that long. A slight difference. I taught ED, kids who had issues sometimes. So I dealt with that for about 10. And then the last 22 or so, I've been doing Phi Ed, which is what my degree was in. It took me that long to get there.
Wow.
How about you, Rick? How long did it take to you for you to get into the field you initially went into, and are you still in it?
I'm not in it right now, although a little bit of history. So I finished school, not sure what I was going to do, went to California, and actually joined a nonprofit producing radio and television programs. So I did that for about 13 years. I don't know, syndicated 1,800 programs, traveled primarily in Europe quite a bit, actually produced 100 downlink broadcast in 85. I was producing a segment out of Berlin, and that was actually just such a great time of life. I was newly married and actually got to take my wife and my, at that time, one-year-old daughter to Berlin to produce this segment in a language that was in English, but it was very interesting trying to communicate with some people from around the world. And I should turn that over to Robin because she could tell me all about how to do that.
Well, yeah, for me, I think one thing that was interesting is the one thing in the world I knew I did not want to be is I did not want to be a teacher, because everybody in my family is a teacher. All my aunts and uncles, my father, who you might remember as the executive director of Racine Education Association back in the day.
Yeah, I think so. I think I remember that.
Yes, I do.
Everybody was a teacher, and that was the one thing I didn't want to be. And I wanted a life of adventure. And I think then when I ended up retiring, moving back home to Seattle, I'm a teacher now. I teach in a two-year college. And my family thought that was really funny. And I said, well, you know, at least I'm a college teacher. You're all high school teachers. But now I run a high school completion program at the college. So I'm actually now teaching high school at the college. So I guess, you know, wherever you think you're going or think you're not going, you might get a surprise at the end of the road. Or not the end of the road. I don't want to say it that way. But along the way,
along the way.
Might get a surprise.
Yeah,
you might get a surprise about where you end up. And for me, I think I was always in love with education. And for me, everything good that came in my life came from education. And I'm really enjoying being an educator now.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want another profession. Being a teacher, being an educator is phenomenal. Whatever area it's in, whether it's in history or physical education or math or science or whatever it is in, I have loved teaching. I like being with the kids and working with the kids and getting to know them and their families. And that's an amazing thing. I think Mike experiences that in a different aspect to a point.
Oh, yeah, very definitely. This is a second career for me, but I've been at it for 15 years now. When I was in law school, my uncle Adrian Dupuy, was head of the education department at Marquette, and he and I would have dinner from time to time, and he predicted that I would end up in education at some point. He said he really helped me with regard to law school, because what he explained to me was that from his point of view, law school was training to be a teacher, because he said you're going to spend your life teaching clients, teaching judges, teaching juries, and it's good training for what I think you'll end up doing. Because of my father and because of some others who had been educators.
And that's important. I it's interesting, though, how we got to where we are, you know, and I think for seniors now that might be graduating, what could we pass on, do you guys think, to a senior who's graduating? I mean, Robin, you work with seniors who just graduated, don't you?
Right. Well, we're working to help students complete high school and then transition into college. So we're really, really strongly involved at that transition point in their lives, and I like that a lot. I just want to add, though, We need to bring Rick over to the dark side. He's a natural teacher.
Well, I am teaching at one level. So, you know, they say that the average person changes not just jobs but careers at least 7 times in their life.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm currently now working in a company that's helping people make transitions when they're being let go from companies, how to really remarket or reposition themselves to be have those skills be transferable back into another employed situation. So there's a lot of education going on. People come out shell-shocked when they are let go by companies. Right now in Oklahoma, we've had a big downturn with gas and oil, and I tell you, I'm working with a lot of companies right now that are doing a lot of outplacement, and people are need to be re-educated, how they think about themselves. And I never thought I'd be in this kind of a role. So it's a long distance from doing radio and television production to where I am now. But I'm with you, Robin.
Yeah, actually, your job description sounds exactly like mine. It's just at a different point in life. And I think one of the things is that it's a very intimate thing to walk with a person at this point in their life where they're making a transition. And I think it's interesting Rick uses exactly the same language that we use at the college about transitioning. Transition is not a comfortable thing. It's a growth thing. And growth isn't comfortable. I say to my students all the time that all really good new learning happens outside of your comfort zone. And I think looking back when I was a senior and looking at the seniors that I'm working with now, it's equal parts fear and excitement about what you think the future holds. But a lot of looking inward and talking to people that you respect and having mentors like Rick or Dave, just I think looking toward those mentors to help guide you through that transition is a really good – that's the advice I give any senior. Look to your parents, no matter how much you've been fighting with them this past year. Talk to them. They actually know some things. Talk to your teachers. Talk to the people who know you through your spiritual practices, and get as many spirit guides on the way for these next couple of years while you're transitioning.
So, Robin, you're not talking about seniors, meaning those that are over a certain age. Is that? I'm just
well,
wanting
you know,
to make sure who we're talking to here. We're talking to the target market is those that are under 18. Is that what you're saying, or over 65?
Actually, I'm talking to the whole population. I'm specifically talking to the 16 to 18 year olds. But in my program, they are 21 years old, and I have a 54 year old. So I'm also talking to a lot of people who, for one reason or another, may not have completed their high school diploma. And I really want to send out the message that it's never too late, and that all over the country, particularly at two-year colleges and community colleges, there are programs there for you to help you complete that that goal that could have been missed by a couple of years. You could have been derailed for a number of different reasons. Never too late. Never too late.
And there's so many opportunities out there. I mean, that's one of the important things that sometimes people miss. You know, when you stop and you think about it, 40 years, it doesn't seem like 40 years. I can sit down. I remember talking to you, Robin, earlier about how I remember one of the first times that we met when I was out on your front porch, and we were sitting there talking. We were sophomores in high school. Remember that? And you sit there and you think back. I mean, I can see it. I can experience the colors. I remember the day. You know, it was a sunny summer day. I just remember that. I remember coming into Case when we were I was on the ad hoc advisory committee, and we had Nick Clemente and Betsy Weaver and a bunch of those guys. And we just all did so many different things. And I remember those moments, you know. And, I mean, that's back when we were sophomores. And then think of junior and senior years and AFS club. Do you remember that one, Robin? Weren't you president of that?
Yeah, that was a big part of my life, American Field Service. I think what I tell my students, because I also teach in the college, is that when you look at your life and you look around who's around you now, you might be surprised who sticks. You know, that different friendships develop after you leave high school. People who you think you might not have been friends with in high school, you actually turn out to have more in common with when you get into your 20s and 30s. And, you know, just the memories that stick in, the people that stick in your life might surprise you in 10, 20 years. I actually was just kind of having a moment when Rick was talking about his grandkids. That just doesn't quite connect up with the 16-year-old I knew.
I mean,
yeah, no.
Are you not sure whether I had it in me or not? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I mean, I just think
listen, I know it's a scary thought, really. It's quite scary.
I think if you put your if your grandchildren put you through what you and your brother put your family through, I don't know.
I remember some of those days. We don't want to remember those days too loudly.
Yeah.
No, not when anybody's recording.
Yes. Certain things not to say while things are recording.
If I could interject something into your conversation, Dave, the two things that occur to me as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about the students that I see in high school who sweating out decisions as to what school they should go to, you know, trying to get to this particular school and tailoring their education towards a particular field that they want to go in, and how I'd like to get the idea across to them that, first of all, look, what we've been talking about, so many consequences are going to follow from their decision that are going to be much more weighty than anything they've considered. So they should relax when they face those choices. And secondly, they should think of education more in terms of something that will enrich the quality of their lives rather than just tie it to a specific occupation that they intend to follow, but that they probably will not end up in.
It's amazing because when you think about it, I went through college and I went through three majors in my career in college. Rick, did you go through a similar thing or did you go through one all the way through?
I started in one and went to the one that I ended up graduating from because it had more to do with my passion more than just getting a certain kind of education. I knew that I had to find something that was going to drive me far beyond just an education. I needed to be passionate about what I was doing. And I'd say that about people now. They're not, if somebody's in, if we're talking to that 16 to 25 year old, you've got to tie into something that drives your passion because the other stuff will come and go. I mean, a little background for me, I've had a securities license, insurance license, I've been in mortgages and real estate, and all these things were fine, but it's about passion that keeps you in the midst of changing several careers. It's honing in on your passion, what really gets you up in the morning. Hey, if you're bent to do a certain thing, go do it. Don't try to be something that somebody else wants you to be.
That is the best advice ever. And I'll tell you that in my experience was I also had a lot of – I think I win in the number of times I switched majors. But I ended up majoring in Russian language and literature, and I minored in Soviet studies. I minored in a country that doesn't exist anymore. I'd like to point that out.
It's kind of like Latin, isn't it?
Couple of things that I tell my students, I do teach college success classes, and I'm going to fly Rick in here as soon as I get the money and get him to talk to them, is exactly that, is connect with your passion. One of the reasons is we're preparing you for jobs that don't exist right now. We really don't know what jobs are going to exist in 10 years. So learning how to learn, learning how to connect yourself to things you're good at and that you're passionate about, that you like, are important. And here's my little side note. When I majored in Russian language and literature in the 80s, the universal outcry was, you'll never get a job. And then what happened, I ended up being assigned to the Pentagon. I was working in Soviet strategic analysis at the Pentagon. And one day I saw a friend of mine in the hall, and he said, he looked upset, and I said, well, what's going on? And he said, well, Ronald Reagan just signed a treaty, and I need to find people who speak Russian and know about Soviet strategic forces. And I said, wow. It turns out that's me. And I was on the first airplane into the Collegiate Union on the 1st of July in 1988. I was one of the very first on-site inspection inspectors, nuclear arms control inspectors in the country. We created an entirely new regime, which was later used after the Gulf War. My point is, I ended up having a set of, you know, through a lot of coincidences and some irony, a skill set that for a job that didn't exist until the 1st of July, 1988, and I graduated in 1985. So it's really, you know, that for me, it doesn't always work out that way, but it's worked out enough times that way with people I know that I can say authoritatively, follow your heart. When we were going to school in the 70s, everybody seemed to be getting pushed to accounting degrees and business degrees.
Yes.
And I only know one friend, and she was in, I think, the class behind us in 77, who actually followed into that career and really liked it. But a lot of people majored in that.
You know, and
there were a lot of people that actually went into business that I'm in touch with now that were in our class. I know Nick Clemente has had a great success in the business community. He works as a consultant now up in Minneapolis. Another one that I've gotten to know better because he doesn't live too far from me here was John Thill. John, you know, works in claims for a company, VP of claims. And I know right now he's planning to actually come to the reunion. But people have actually my brother Ron went into business, and he did well in that. So there were people that actually followed that path, but people needed to discover how they were wired. They needed to find out through either assessments or just giving chance to zig and zag to find out where their heart was at to discover where they needed to go.
I have to say, Nick and Ron, they were businessmen when they were 16.
Yeah, they were. They looked like businessmen when they were 16.
I'm not the slightest bit surprised to hear that they've enjoyed great success, because I think that was hardwired into those two.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I agree.
Thank you. That's kind of you.
But when you think about it, you know, like what we call the program today, 40 years, an unexpected journey. My journey was totally unexpected. I've gone different directions. It's funny. We were sitting around talking about in one of our classes this year earlier, they said, well, name three things that you did. One of them can't be true. And I sat down and I was talking to a bunch of kids in our school. And our school goes to Washington, D.C. every year. So I said, okay, I climbed to the top of Mount Fuji. I stood on the Berlin Wall, and I've been to Washington, D.C. And, of course, every kid goes, oh, Mr. Dami's been to Washington, D.C. Oh, yeah. And I said, no, that's my lie. I have never been to Washington, D.C. in my entire life. But I've been on top of the wall, and I have stood on the top of Fuji and watched sunrise and sunset. So
wow.
you never expect sometimes the things that happen to you.
Yeah, that's true.
So with our going to our reunion, we've been doing,
yes.
We graduated 40 years ago, guys. Yeah, amazing.
Wow. Next month.
Yeah. Why don't we kind of give a little information, if it's okay, Mike,
okay,
about our reunion coming up. And person who's been really spearheading our reunion is Rick. So do you want to give a little bit about what we're doing right now, Rick?
Sure, I'd love to. So right now we're planning for a July 2nd reunion, and we're going to be the venue for that is going to be Racine Country Club, and the registrations are now beginning to happen for people. They can begin to. We've got all the situation set up, the send checks, and I don't know, Dave, are you going to give a phone number where people can get a hold of somebody? If they'd like to call and ask more information, those that might be in the class. So,
yeah,
I take it you're going to give a number there. So, but people can now begin to register for that. We do have a Facebook page for that. So if you're listening to this and you're part of the 1976 class at Case, go to Facebook and just simply do a search for 40-year reunion or Racine Case 76 40-year reunion, and I'm sure a page will pop up for you. And that way you can look to see the information there. But things are coming together on that. Registrations are actually being done right now. And what else do you need from me, Dave? I'd love to go in more detail, but don't
Go ahead. Go into more detail. Why don't we explain what we're doing? We started this about 2 years ago. Actually, that's how I found out about it, was from Rick about 2 years ago. So this is not just happening.
No. Actually, I was on the reunion committee for my wife's reunion, and so I had a chance to see how this gets put together, and I realized, you know what, we need to start gathering names now because it's going to take a while to find people, and the way technology has changed everything, Facebook was a natural for that. So we started a Facebook page. I think now we have over 120 names on that page, and not all of them are in our class. I left it wide open because we have a lot of interested people who were either in the class before or the class after that really wanted to connect with everybody. And we've left that open. We've decided to set up a sort of a first right of refusal, or allow our class to be signed up first so they can get in. And so that the class members can sign up through May 31st. And they can continue to sign up, but at June 1st, we will actually open it up to the surrounding class members, those who might want to come and be a part of it. One thing I realized quickly at my wife's reunion is that there are a lot of people that are going to come to the reunion that did not know each other in high school. Mm-hmm. And they will meet each other at the reunion and actually become good friends. We are great friends with people that my wife did not know in high school. And I think that's quite hilarious. I mean, the people that we have on our Facebook page, I know most of them, but a lot of them I don't know. And I'm actually looking forward to getting reacquainting myself with people that I haven't seen. Like, I haven't talked to Robin in 40 years, right, Robin? but it'll be fun to catch up and, you know, just reestablish friendships over again. But there will be people there that we will not know and that were in our class, and it'll be like starting fresh, and that will be a lot of fun. So the event will start at 6 o'clock in the evening, and I don't know if there's an end time, but, yeah, hey, we're 40 years older. We might want to go to bed by 9 o'clock. but anyways... maybe toward the end, Dave, I'll let you give a phone number, but I'll just stop it right now. Anything else you want to add, Dave? You've been on the committee for a little bit.
It's just been an amazing 2 years. The thing that I find interesting is, you know, my first reunion I went to was a 5-year reunion, and I got a call from a friend of mine. Robin, do you remember that call?
No.
You don't remember that call? We were sitting there, and I was sitting at home, and you called up, and you said, you know, we have the 5-year reunion coming up. You want to go? And I went, sure, yeah, I'd like to go. And we ended up, if you recall, it was at South Hills Country Club.
Yes.
And we ended up going there for that reunion, and that was really the first reunion, the only reunion I went to until about 10 years ago. I didn't do any of the other reunions. And so when I found out about the reunion committee, I thought it'd be kind of cool to be on the other end, the planning end of it. And that's it's been an amazing journey, you know. And not only that, but it's allowed me to reconnect with so many of our friends and people I've not been in contact with, you know. Like you were saying, Rick. You know, it's been amazing. I mean, Robin, you and I have reconnected, and that's phenomenal. And that's the thing I think I really enjoy about being in the committee. Robin, have you been to any other reunions? I remember the 5th. We were together there at the 5th, but were you at any other ones?
I actually haven't. I don't think I've been back to Wisconsin since then.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're going to be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. I, Once my family all moved back to Seattle and a lot of our friends scattered, I mean, I still keep in touch with Michelle Caprillion. She's in Columbia. Facebook has been wonderful. I've been talking to Rich Welbond for a couple of years now. So social media has been a really wonderful thing. On the one hand, it's allowed me to be in touch with you guys again and to be in touch with a lot of friends through the years. But on the other hand, I kind of forget that it's been a long time since I've actually seen some of you, you know, in the flesh, and I kind of like to do that.
Yeah, Robin, we haven't changed a bit, by the way.
I was just telling Rick that I think I need to lose 1 pound for every one of those 40 years before the reunion. So.
Yeah, let's not go there, Robin. Thank you so much.
Well, you got to figure out, okay, we really haven't told what date our reunion will be. It'll be July 2nd. So you've got to July 2nd to get all that stuff, you know, done, whatever we got to do to get to that reunion.
Yes.
And then...
I was going to add... I haven't mentioned the cost on it. The cost at this point will be $65 a person. And so we got a couple months out here. You know, I know that $65 can seem like a lot of money. I actually paid more than that for my wife's reunion. But if people can begin to put that money aside now, they'll be able to make it to the reunion. So I think that we also were going to try to see if we had money set aside to help those special situations where somebody is just not able to make it. But I would encourage, start saving now. And yeah, for you 16 to 18-year-olds, you need to start saving now.
For your 40th anniversary.
It's going to cost you a grand at that time. It's going to cost you a grand. No, I'm just kidding. So, but for those listening that may be in the class, you know, begin to put some money aside so you can plan to be there. You won't want to miss the opportunity to connect with people.
You know, when you think about it, I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to be at the Racine Country Club, and they've got an indoor venue, an outdoor venue. The food that we're going to have is going to be amazing. You can tell more about that, Rick. And we got music. We're going to have music for before the dinner, after the dinner. We're going to have dancing music. It'll be nice. It'll be if you're in a, you know, if you're married, it'll be a great date night type of thing after a long time. And when you think about it, for the amount of money, we spend that sometimes just going out to dinner. And here we'll have an opportunity to meet old friends and renew friendships and acquaintances and touch base with that unexpected journey that we've been down and that everyone who's around us has been down. Because I would venture that Michelle will have a story and a half to tell with what she's gone through.
Yes. Well, for those that might have been at the 30-year reunion, that was a unique experience because we pulled together all the high schools in Racine. And I know that there's someone on our committee that really was a key factor in that, and that was Donna Cornelius. And Donna's on our committee now, but she really worked by herself along with the other high schools to help pull that one off. I went to it. It was a great time. I have to admit, I didn't even get on the dance floor once because I was so much conversation going on. But it was fun. Now, one thing I would challenge everyone is go back and listen to music from the 70s because you're going to want to get re-geared with that. If you want to follow along with some of the music, it'd be good to actually, I'd like to, you know, Robin, I hope your leg's better, and we want to see you do some of that, some of that
disco
dancing. That disco dancing, yes, that would be awesome.
Well, as long as if you check all camera devices at the door, so no recording.
It doesn't go on social media.
I really, one thing I'm eternally grateful for is that our high school days occurred before there was social media and YouTube and the ability to have a cell phone. So
I can tell you, and technology, again, it's really changed everything, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody there that will actually have some streaming going on for those people that can't be there, but we hope that everyone could attend. But we will have a limit on the event because of the venue size, but even with a class of 673 of what I counted, if we could get 100, 200 people out for the event, we would be thrilled. So If someone is on the sideline wondering whether they should be there or not, really try to make it if you can. But we know a lot of people are scattered nationwide. But for people that might be locally, we'd love to have it be filled out. Now, Dave mentioned an inside venue and an outside. Right now we're planning on the inside only, simply because of the weather predictability of Wisconsin. It's not like Seattle, right, Robin?
Right, yeah.
So we will have an outside ability, but for planning purposes, we're trying to keep it until we really know what the event, the weather's going to be like closer to the event. It will allow us to open it up to some more people, but right now we're kind of limiting at 200 people, so people don't want to wait to register. They want to go and take care of that right away if they can, and at least let somebody know you want to be there. Even though you may not be able to pay right away, just put in your reserve a spot that you need, and we'll get the rest of it as we get closer to the date.
And if someone wants to contact someone who can connect them, I happen to be in Kenosha, and you're more than welcome to call my phone number. I can get us hooked up. I can either get us hooked up so that you're on the right website to get the information, or I can pass on that information to the people who can help you get connected. And my number is 262-945-0951. And we have a website, too. Rick, you know the site a bit better than I do.
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick. And hang on just a minute.
Sure. You know what I like about the site? If you get a chance to look at the site, there are some great pictures from our yearbook. You believe this or not, I still have my senior yearbook. In fact, it's in a bookshelf in my bedroom, and every once in a while I'll pull it out and look through it. It's an amazing thing, and we were talking earlier about, you know, records. Now, Rick said he was a grandfather. I'm not there. My oldest is 25, and all of mine are still single. All my kids are still single. My second to youngest daughter is 14, and she actually has a love of 1970s music, Styx, and some of those things we used to listen to. It's kind of interesting when she starts asking me, can I play my stuff on my phone? I'm like, yeah, and then she plays the music I listen to, Harry Chapin, Neil Diamond, Styx, you know, Mott the Hoople.
Okay, Rick, do you have that website? Because we're getting to about the point where we have to wrap this up.
Okay, so the Facebook website is Racine Case Class of 1976. If you put that into, if you do a search for Racine Case Class of 1976, you'll get to that Facebook page, and all the information on the reunion will be there under the Events tab. So you can hit the Events tab, and then you'll get all the detail on that. But I would say, hey, if you want to talk with somebody or reserve a spot, call Dave. Dave, give that number again, please.
Okay, 262-945-0951.
And Racine Case Class 1976, is that all one continuous word in lowercase, sort of all of a German syntax?
No, that's a Facebook page, so it's, you know.
I see, okay.
You just do a search in Facebook on those words, and it'll pop up, and you'll find it pretty easy.
And can they pay on that, too, then, if they so choose?
At this point, the only option we have on pay is to mail a check, and the address and the person to mail that to is listed there, but right now, we are just having checks being mailed. We are working on a pay-by-credit option, but that is not up to speed quite yet. But it will also bump up the ticket price per individual. So we're trying to encourage. I know that in this day and age, it's hard to find a checkbook. But if you want to mail a check, and I understand from the person receiving checks, money is starting to be received.
Good.
So people are responding. And so it will fill up quickly.
Good. Okay, and with that, we'll have to end it, I'm afraid. My name is Mike Keough. I'm one of the rotating hosts here of Education Matters on WGTD. And with me has been Dave Dominey, who has functioned pretty much as the host today, and Rick Coltman. Is that how it's?
Coltman, yeah.
And Robin Ennis, and we've been talking about the 40th anniversary that you folks are having, and